Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare K. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 20, page 8, verse 214. The southern section describes how Rati, Bhava, for the Lord, Stai Bhava, which has been described previously, takes on the form of the highest rasa through nourishment by the ingredients of Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhichari Bhava. Srila Prabhupada. The particular loving mood or attitude relished in the exchange of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called rasa, or mellow. The different types of rasa, when combined together, help one to taste the mellow of devotional service to the highest degree of transcendental ecstasy. Such a person, although entirely transcendental to our experience, will be explained in this section as far as possible, following the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami.
Mm-hmm. Which page?
8.
Okay.
215. This Rati for Krishna, called the Stai Bhava, takes on a pleasurable nature in the hearts of the devotees by the Vibhavas, Anubhavas, Sattvika Bhavas, and Vyabhichari Bhavas, through activities such as hearing, and then becomes bhakti rasa. Srila Prabhupada. Without relishing some sort of mellow or loving mood in one's activities, no one can continue to perform such activities. Similarly, in the transcendental life of Krishna consciousness and devotional service, there must be some mellow or specific taste from the service. Generally, this mellow is experienced by chanting, hearing, worshipping in the temple, and being engaged in the service of the Lord. So when a person feels transcendental bliss, that is called relishing the mellow. To be more clear, we may understand that the various feelings of happiness derived from discharging devotional service may be termed the mellows of devotional service. Right, so it's important that someone's getting a good experience from it. Right? It means the Krishna conscious experience. It doesn't necessarily mean that the external form has to be wonderful, but if their experience of it is good. Right, you know, like sometimes you hear devotees talking about times that they've had some time in devotional service, that, you know, things are maybe very simple or very austere and that, but they talk about it with great fondness because there's a taste. So that's the important thing. We have to get a taste in Krishna consciousness. If not, we'll look elsewhere for taste because that's the nature of the soul. So either we'll look inside Krishna consciousness or we're going to look outside, you know, like we see, we get into all kinds of things, you know, in the material world. Like that. So it's a matter of taste. Yes.
Right, so up to the level of bhav is general taste that moves the devotees. And then at bhava, then rati actually becomes.
Yes, becomes. Then it becomes more specific. Okay. That's why one doesn't have to worry about what relation you are. It's either it's obvious or don't worry about it. And that's one of those things. Mm-hmm. You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So one doesn't have to be in anxiety because the natural relationship is there. It's just that it becomes covered by the conditioned nature. So unless the heart is purified, one can't see that or use it anyway. So it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, in other words, it's not a concern. When it comes up, then like you said, in Rati it'll come up. And then one can work with it. Because when one has the spiritual form, so one can actually work with it. Srila Jiva Goswami. Rati for Krishna, the Stai Bhava, becomes Bhakti Ras. How does this happen? The Stai Bhava, taking on a relishable nature, and being nourished in an amazing manner through hearing and other actions, becomes Bhakti Ras by means of the Anubhavas, Vibhavas, Satika Bhavas, and Vyabhichari Bhavas. Rati is an inclusive term, indicating as well prema, pranaya, and other stages up to Mahabhav. That is because of Rati's extraordinary form. Right, so the Rati means the particular attraction. So that attraction can go all the way through. So it's that it has a stage at which it appears. But it doesn't mean having appeared, it doesn't remain. You know, just like Shraddha, it appears, it doesn't mean it doesn't remain. So Rati has its position on where we become aware of it. But it also, you can just say Rati and include the whole thing. You just have to see the context that you're talking about. Talking about a sadhaka, then it's a position that they're trying to come to. If you're talking about the pure devotees, then it means that's just the nature, how they relate to Krishna. 216. The taste for bhakti rasa arises in the heart of a person who has had experiences of pure bhakti in previous and present life. Srila Prabhupada. This relishing of transcendental mellow in discharging devotional service cannot be experienced by all classes of men, because the sweet loving mood is developed only from one's previous life's activities or by the association of unalloyed devotees. As explained above, association with pure devotees is the beginning of faith in devotional service. Only by developing such faith in the association of a pure devotee, or by having one's previous life executed devotional activities, means he's done that there, can one actually relish the mellow of devotional service. In other words, this transcendental bliss is not to be enjoyed by any common man unless he is so extraordinarily fortunate as to be in association with devotees or to be continuing his previous birth devotional activities. So that's why the association of devotees is so important in the process, because without that, then it won't you won't progress, because we're gaining means they have the attitude. So since it's a point of attitude, not just the ritual, then by associating with the devotees, then one takes on that attitude. So that's why one always associates with those more advanced. Right? And then we hear from the acharyas, then we see their attitude, we see the pastimes of the Lord given in Srimad Bhagavatam, like this.
Yeah? Yeah. So especially if we don't have many devotional activity in the past.
Then it points out then the association of devotees in this life.
Yes,
the point is,
it's important.
Yeah. Oh, I see. You're saying especially if you don't have anything. Yes. Yes. But even if you do, you would still associate with devotees, like that. But the point is that it comes up, and so you're relishing that in the association of devotees. But it came up because of previous. So we see like Jarabara, it came up because of his previous.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? But, you know, you see others where then by association they take, like the hunter.
Yes.
Right? It's not said that, you know, in his last life he was a great devotee in this. It just says by the association of Narad Muni, then he came to that platform. So, basically, like you said, that's kind of where we're situated. Yeah. Yes?
My question is about previous point. Before Bhava stage, we have a common test. Yes? But sometimes devotees attach it to some forms of deities, for example. Is it possible that after achieving bhava stage, his object of his attraction will be fully changed? For example,
fully changed. What does that mean, fully changed?
For example, means that
to the deity, meaning to Krishna in the temple, and when they become fully realized,
example,
they'll find out it's Kalabhairava or
No, not that. I mean, for example, if someone attaches it to worship to Radha and Krishna now, but after achieving Bhava, is it possible that he will be attracted by Krishna Balaram, serving to Krishna Balaram in the Sakya?
I mean, what's the point?
The question is what we feel now before.
Yeah, that I understand, but I'm saying what's the point of the question? What's the doubt that brings up the question? Why would one, is it just a matter of options? You know, you want to always keep your options open. That I've gone to the French restaurant and I order the things, but do I still have the, but if I really wanted, could I order Italian? You understand? So always this thing of options. The point is that whatever is your natural relationship, that's what's going to happen. You have a relationship. It's just like if I have a gold ring, right? And it drops in the mud, right? Is it still a gold ring? Yes, but it's covered by mud, so I can't exactly use it as a gold ring. If I put it on like that, no one will appreciate that it's a gold ring. Now, when I wash it off, what am I going to get?
Silver ring.
Yeah. You're going to get a silver ring, you know? You know, one of those ones where the squiggly stuff like that, you know, that the, you know, then all you need is, you know, the, what do you call it? Dandelion? It's dandelions, right? Or daffodils. No, it's dandelions. Dandelion, you know, then you make a little thing out, put it on your head, do a circle dance, you know. Right? It'll turn silver. Isn't it? Yeah? Take a gold ring, put it in mud, take it out, wash it off, it'll be silver, right? What about platinum? Rhodium? No? Okay, it's going to be a gold ring. And if it was 24 karat, when you drop it in, it'll still be 24 karat, not that it lost something to the mud. Or when it was 18 karat and you drop it off, wash it off, now it'll be 24. That would be a good one. Right? It's going to be the same thing. So the point is whatever's our natural relationship, that's what it's going to be. So you don't have to worry. It's, oh, but what if I want to change it? You don't have to. Do you want to change something that you're comfortable with, that you identify with?
No.
So therefore, there's no need of worrying about it, because whatever it is, you'll be happy. It'll be good. It's in connection with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that you're worshiping one deity and that's the other, but it's not that it changed. Just like Murari Gupta is worshiping Lord Chaitanya, but he's a devotee of Sita Ram. So that's not a problem, because it's Krishna, so it's not a problem. So even someone from Vaikuntha, they are worshiping our deities, they'll still go to Vaikuntha. Right? But they may appreciate those aspects of Vrindavan pastimes that Vaikunthapati does. So they'll be in that part of Vaikuntha. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so in other words, these kind of things we don't have to get too worried about.
I asked only because I wanted to understand this attraction which we have now to our deities will be with us after some other
day. Why shouldn't it be? You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't it be? You know? Because the thing is that what's the problem? We're cultivating a relationship with Krishna. Why would Krishna change on us? You know? And then when you get there, then they all point their finger, go, hey, hey. You know? It's like that. And they turn out to be something else. You know, you find out you're not herding cows, you're herding sheep or something like that. And when you ask, why me? Someone had to do it, you know, like that. And does that make sense? So you worship Krishna, of course you'll develop your relationship with Krishna. Is that?
A question similar to this only in continuation.
In continuation.
Devotees, they usually say that there could be a change, you know, just because of that. And if we do not develop raga and we are only in the Vaidhi Marga, then there should be a change. You know, that
there should be a change.
Because Radha and Krishna are actually accepting ourselves in the form of Lakshmi Narayana. That's why they are fearful of it.
You understood that?
No, I couldn't hear.
I heard, but didn't understand. It's the same question we've been dealing with for the last 10 years. Is that can you change? Should you change? Or this or that? You know, because Radha and Krishna were worshiping, but they're dealing with this Lakshmi Narayan because of the mood. So does that mean that we'll end up in Vaikuntha? Or this or that? Or all of these kind of things. In other words, Krishna reciprocates as we deal. The point is we're taking it that we're the one controlling this. Right? The bottom line is I'm in control because I'm worshipping them. I don't have love for Radha and Krishna, but I'm worshipping Radha and Krishna. And so, but they, because of lack of love, I'm doing it because of the rules, so they're reciprocating with me as Lakshmi Narayan. So therefore, because it's happening because of me, therefore, because of my actions, therefore, then would I end up in Vaikuntha, since I'm actually in control of this whole process. You understand? But the point is, it's Radha and Krishna who are reciprocating as Lakshmi Narayan. As you mature and start doing things because you want to do things for them, rather than just then arta artarti jigyasu or jnani, when you actually come more mature, you want to please them, then they'll start reciprocating at that point. Does that make sense? Because this whole thing is that I'm either in control, do I still have the options, all these things like this, it has to go away at some point. We have to have faith that you're worshipping Krishna, then you'll move towards Krishna. Why not? We're not the controller. It's Krishna's process. So we learn about Vaidhi from Krishna's representatives, and then now we're in control of it? You know, so, yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami, even though there are impressions in this life for giving rise to rasa from the presence of rati in this life, it is necessary to seek out impressions from previous life as well to explain the occurrence of rasa. This distinction between the past life experiences of rati and present life experiences of rati applies to those persons subject to disappearance and not the nitya siddhas. Right? In other words, the conditioned souls. The nitya siddhas, that they don't have this problem. Right? This is the rule for most cases discussed in the book. The import is that rati has to be intense for bhakti rasa to appear. Why they mention the previous lifetimes is they're just showing it's a matter of intensity. Is that it builds up to a particular intensity. So if we think it's just from this lifetime, then we're not thinking in much intensity. When we appreciate that it's a development of lifetimes, then we start to appreciate the intensity. Does that make sense? So that's why we're... Yes?
I guess this resolved the issue of three lifetimes going back to Godhead. The previous, this one, and the next one appearing in Bom Lila, and then it becomes three, actually.
Yeah, like that. Just it works. Yeah, because they have to count Boma Lila. Because generally we kind of leave Boma Lila out.
Yeah, but that's third life.
Yes. You know, but... You know, because we'll always take it in context of this, you know. But yes, what you're saying there, that works very good. Because it's accumulation of previous to come to the point of Shraddha. Yeah. Then there's this life that we continue, and then remembering Krishna, then you go back to Godhead, and that would be the third life. Yeah. But that that's the one that continues in Golok. Yeah. It's just that... It's you can call it a life because of the being the Prakat Lila. But as apricot, that one continues. So that way we can say you go back to Godhead and it includes that one, so you don't make a distinction. Or if you're being technical, so that one appreciates that the Boma Lila aspect is there, then you count that as the third. Does that make sense? Or did I make it more confusing?
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we're talking about it as if there's that and then going to go low, but that's not so often. We generally just talk about going back to Godhead.
Yeah.
So, but the point is the Prakat Lila, that's where you're going to be purified, come to the platform of Prema. Right? Having come to that platform, then that's just going to continue. Your position, everything will continue. Yeah. It just will continue in the Apricot Lila. Because then Krishna, after the, at least, you know, in this time around, after the Dantavakra pastimes, spent that 2 months in Vrindavan, then when he left, then the Vrindavan pastimes went apricot. So it just means they would just continue. Your position would continue. But you can count it that the prakat as the third life, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that in this, if one understands, then so many of these seemingly inconsistent or
contradictory
things, then they all make sense, because it's just a matter of which aspect you're taking. Yes. Because technically Bhava Bhakti is still a sadhaka. So in this way you could say three lifetimes is a sadhaka. Though that third life is a sadhaka if that's in Boma Lila, then you come to the perfectional life, but you're still just the Siddha Deha goes to, you know, Siddha goes to Vastu Siddha. That's all. It just becomes permanent. So, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Though there are recent impressions for giving rise to rati, past life impressions are also needed to give a taste of rati. Though in this life itself rati appears in persons who have surrendered to Guru, performed bhakti and destroyed all offenses, the taste for rati arises from experiences and actions in previous lives. So in previous lives, we've come in contact with Krishna consciousness. That's why in this life we're taking part in Krishna consciousness. There may be the rare occasion where someone this life, just by contacting Srila Prabhupada, that has now taken up. But generally speaking, you always see it's something ongoing. That's why they just come and come. Otherwise, why would you have? Because we see persons that you know. It's like we were talking, you know, some months or something before. We have. It's always that Bhakta Jose or whatever it is. He's been coming to the temple the last 20 years, never surrendering. Nice guy, likes to chant and, you know, likes to take prasad and do a little service, and he gives a little money here and there, but he never really surrenders. Right? You know, so why is it that aspect is there? And then you have, on the other hand, you have someone like Madhudvisa Prabhu, that he's, you know, one of those traveling around the world, you know, just with his backpack and that's it, and, you know, one of those kind of things. You know, in life. And then he happens to be in San Francisco. He happens to be in Golden Gate Park, just walking through the park, because you go to Golden Gate if you're in San Francisco, because that's where everything happens. So going there, then he sees something going on. So he goes down, you know, from the hill there down to the road, and there's the Rath Yatra. He sees the Rath Yatra, the big festival. He takes his backpack, throws it onto Subhadra Maharani's cart, and then takes part goes with the Rath Yatra, stays for the program afterwards, and then after the program's over and everybody else leaves, he stays, helps the devotees pack up, the devotees are going back to the temple, he goes with them, he never leaves. Why is that? Because the previous lifetimes. So now it's just come along, it's just, again, reawakened. So that's the point. If someone, we see, you know, in this lifetime, just Shraddha, you can understand they've done in last life. And the one who, you know, he's been there bhakta forever and never surrenders, he's the one we're talking about last life. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes.
Yeah. You need to wait next life.
Yeah, like that. But it's, so it's just a volume of Agyata Sukriti. When it reaches a particular volume, then it becomes Shraddha. But it only does that through the association of devotees. So we're saying it's happened from last life means they've had that association, it's brought to that last life, but not enough to take them back to Godhead. And so this life then, it continues. And you see that they move it. You know, you see these devotees, they come to the temple, and very quickly they move into an advanced position. Like that. Like Bhakti Churumara. He comes to the temple, he's just one of the local Calcutta boys. Like that. And, you know, he's there and he takes up, and then within a year, Prabhupada's given him sannyas. Like that. And his moods and dealings with Srila Prabhupada are just so much deeper than others. You know, it's just like, let's say you were bringing, you're supposed to bring Prabhupada's orange juice, and it's supposed to come at a particular time. Right? And it's late. And Prabhupada, when you walk in, then Prabhupada is upset because he didn't bring it on time, says, take it away, I don't want it. What would you do?
Take it away.
Take it away. Right? Yeah? What did Bhakti Chumash do? He just slowly, as Prabhupada saying, go, I don't want it, and that, just slowly, slowly walking up, not just very humble in that, and puts it down in front of Prabhupada, where he sees this, that, and that, and the Prabhupada stops and brings it. So where does that come from? That comes from the development. So to be on that kind of level already, you know what I'm saying? And this was before he took sannyas. So this is still within that year. And he's doing things that you won't see other devotees doing, even at more advanced, been around for so many years. Just that personal depth. Does that make sense? You know, so you just, that's what we're meaning by it. It's just lifetimes. So we don't have to worry about before, we worry about now, because now, as it said in Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada's quoting this, that in this one lifetime you can perfect and go back to Godhead. And that going back to God, and he says that'll be the Boma Lila. That's the third life. So when we say the previous life is one life, that can be one or, you know, however many it is. You know what I'm saying? But it's counted as one. You know? And then there's this life, that's two, and then Boma Lila, that's three. Though that Boma Lila will continue eternally. You know, just like the other one may have been eternity, and that one's eternity, but we, you know, this is the second. Get it together. Like that. That's the point. That, yeah, good.
It's important not to miss that life.
Huh? Yes, yes. You don't want to waste and get distracted by other things. Because getting distracted, everybody's doing that. And that we're still here, we've done that before. Right? You know, and especially if we're talking about this thing going on, it's the same thing. It's not different. We're distracted by something. You know, it's just like, let's say, as you get older, those, you know, so many things fall away. But then those things that remain, then you can understand that's why you're here. You know, so, like that. Yes?
Once one Indian devotee journeyed to ISKCON, and he told that he was born in a family of devotees. His grandfather chanted Rama mantra for days from morning to evening. And he very quickly accepted everything about Krishna consciousness philosophy, but during many years he chanted only one round. Does it mean that he had previously only Avyata Sukriti or some Krishna?
This means previously anyway you're talking about Avyata Sukriti. Means when we say the previous life, we generally mean Avyata Sukriti. You see, in some they are much more advanced stage, then it's not. Like Bharat Maharaj, she's come to Bhava. But then from Bhava, then he's, what do you call it? Then he got distracted, and then we see his Jarabhar, he's just continuing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, see, these points that are being brought up are just to show that it's a natural flow, that Krishna consciousness has been going on, and because of previous life's impressions, that's what's also helping in this life, and we're continuing. It's not a discussion about the technicalities of what last life and how much we were this and that. That's not the discussion. So we have to be careful to not think that that's the point. The point is just Krishna consciousness, it's a development. And so now we have the opportunity to develop whatever we have and move forward and go back to God. So we can take that. Or we can just go on, and this will be, then this lifetime will be counted as that last life. And then next life, you can get serious. And if not, you also have the option, you can not get serious next life, and that will also become part of last life and the life after that. You know, so it's just a matter of, you want to be serious, it can be done as quickly as we see Maharaj Katvanga in a moment. Or one can take lifetimes, it's up to you. You know, you have the freedom. Like that. Sense, yeah. Two, one, 7 through 10. Rati, which is the very form of Ananda, appears in the hearts of devotees who have been purified of all faults by bhakti. Right, so this means there's some aspect, that there's some attraction that we're talking about here where it's just called rati. Then that means this level of bhava, you know, and then coming to prema. But, as we said, that's what's extending down through all the levels, is that taste in Krishna consciousness. It's coming from rati, but it's just a small amount, so we won't call the position rati. The taste is rati, but we won't call the position rati, unless there's a volume.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's just like you take a grain of rice or something, and you eat it. It is rice, and it has the taste of rice, but we won't call it a meal until there's a certain volume of rice on your plate.
Right? And it will also not give ananda.
It's borley ananda. When the stomach's full, then you get ananda. Right? Yeah. And it doesn't mean that there's not a taste.
Yeah, it's taste.
Yeah. that means is that it's not going to. That means you want to try to get. We want to look at it from the positive angle, how you can move through. It's not that we're not realistic and understand the technicalities, so we're not glossing it over and making it sentimental. But we want to start looking at what Krishna consciousness is rather than what it isn't.
Yes.
Right. At least at this point in the book.
Yes.
Chapter 1, we can be more negative, but now we're on chapter 20, so we're in the Southern Ocean, which is all about, you know, all the aspects of rasa, so the vibhav, anubhav, stuff like this. So, good to, you know, see the positive.
So the ideal thing is to, if our consciousness follows the books, it's very good.
Yes.
But if it does not follow, we have some difficulty to adjust.
Yes, but then it just means that we'll get, from going through at this time, we'll get so much benefit, and then next time we go through, we'll find it'll be even more easy. Right? Because we went through all those chapters before, right, in the first year.
Yes.
But we wouldn't have appreciated as much as we did now. Like that. Like before, it was like, basically, you know, the first chapters, then yeah, we've heard, it's all the philosophy, and right, okay, great. Then we get into the Vaidhi and that's where the substance is. And then, of course, as tradition we have to argue over the position of Rag Bhakti and what is and what's not. And then as soon as it gets to Bhava and Prema, then it all switches off and there's nothing. You know, so we go through very quickly. But you see, this time through, then there was much more discussion of the bhava and the prema.
Yes.
Though, of course, we did have to have our standard, you know, the argument over what's raganuga and not. But Vaidhi, we didn't have to discuss much because we understood. So it was more about its progression, the attitude, and those kind of things. So it was more that aspect came out. So you can see is that there's yes. there's progress from yes. the first year to the tenth year. Is that something? Yeah. It's actually, you know, perceivable. That's the thing. Because otherwise, before it's like, you know, Viva, what's Viva? You know, every time, you know, what's other? You know. So now it's like it's getting a little bit more. We're familiar with the words, right? You know that. Okay. Who have been purified by all faults by bhakti. Right? So by bhakti, you purify faults. You can't purify faults by faults. Right? So, piety is one of the faults. Remember we saw is that the four kinds of anartas. One is piety. Well, generally, we will never discuss it like that. We'll take it, there's sin and there's offenses. Right? And sin is offensive, so there's only offenses. Or there's only sin. You know, whatever. But it mentioned piety also. Or improper performance of devotional activities. You know, mistakes in deity worship and things like this. So the aspect is that piety has to go also. So then when we talk about, you know, you have to have good qualities, all this, why are we saying that? Are we saying that because we understand that these are the qualities that are engaged in Krishna consciousness? Or we're thinking that these qualities produce Krishna consciousness? That's why he said here, Rati, which is in the very form of Ananda, appears in the hearts of the devotees who have been purified of all faults by bhakti. Right? So that means they have already gotten to the stable position because they've removed the nartas because of bhakti, not because of being a nice guy. Whose hearts have become joyful, kladini, and bright, samvit, who have developed great relish for the Bhagavatam and for the association of others who have taste for Krishna, whose life and soul becomes the profound happiness of devotion at the feet of Govinda, and who have become absorbed in actions such as kirtan, imbued with the Lord's mercy. Right, so it's about kirtan, meaning the taste of the hearing and chanting and the association of devotees. You know, it's gone beyond the point of just excellent tune, excellent mridanga, excellent kartals, the arrangements, and all that. You know what I'm saying? It's gone beyond that. So it's because of the taste in the kirtan. Right? And in doing that, because the kirtan's for Krishna, if you have the facility to arrange it to be nice, why wouldn't you? because you're trying to make it as nice for Krishna. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we sing a nice tune to attract Krishna's attention. Not we sing a nice tune because no one's heard it and they'll all be impressed and, you know, they'll think we're a great kirtaneer. Does that sense? Yeah. This rati, strengthened by past and present life impressions of bhakti, then attains a state of relish by realizing vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, and vyavichari bhava in relation to Krishna. Right? Because otherwise you can have these, but not in relation to Krishna. You know, that's just a mundane rasa. So it's these in relation to Krishna. And finally attains the highest astonishing peak of profound bliss. Srila Prabhupada. The gradual process of development to the stage of devotional service is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 1-2, 16 through 21. The beginning is to hear about Lord Krishna and the association of devotees, who have themselves cleansed their hearts by association. Hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord will result in one's feeling transcendental bliss always. End quote. It is also explained in Bhagavad Gita 18:54 that for one who has actually come to the spiritual platform, the first symptom visible will be that he is always joyful. This joyous life is attained by one's reaction to reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or else from associating with persons. So, that just, oh, and it's over. Okay, so. Now if you could train it, then we just need a banjo. And, right? Yeah. Or else from associating with persons who are very much interested in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. Specifically, those who have made the determination to achieve the favor of Govinda by being engaged in transcendental loving service at his lotus feet. Right? So there's a determination. Because determination means it's focused just on Krishna. So we see is that this focus is something that's going. There's been a general thing that we appreciate. And so then from that, you know, we're taking part. But like we say, it's like Mataji pointed out, you had that example of someone who in the family, they're families of devotees, and they're coming in that, they'll do devotional service, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur finds this position as samanya bhakti. That they're general devotee or ordinary devotee. Means that they don't have that determination to attain Govinda's favor by that determined effort of devotional service. So they haven't come to that point of Shraddha where they surrender. They have, you know, it's a general phase. So that's the what we're talking, the Agyata Sukriti. So they have that, and they'll do devotional service in that, but it hasn't come to the point where the determination, because there's other things to do. Then we take up devotional service, and then devotional service as anishta while we have other things to do. Then it becomes nishta when we know that bhakti is the only thing that will bring us to Krishna's lotus feet. Right? Then it becomes more focused in ruchi and asakti. Then we see in bhava. Then it takes on in greater focus. Then it has its specifics in relationship. But then when that relationship is seen exclusively in connection with Krishna and his pleasure, then we get Krishna's association. And that matures into prema, which is just about Krishna. It doesn't have any other distractions. So we see this determination, that's very important. Like that. That famous verse of in Bhagavad Gita, I think 241, the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Vyavasayatmika Bhuti. So that's a very important. Being encouraged by such a feeling, one who is constantly engaged in discharging regulative principles of devotional service in such a way as to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, develops two principles of compelling force, which come under the heading of vibhava. Thus one enjoys transcendental bliss. Right? So then the two headings means just that relationship with Krishna himself and those things then connected with Krishna and what he does. So does that mean sense? The alambana and the udipana. Right. Srila Jiva Goswami. Four verses explain the role of sadhana, the assisting factors. and the way to which rasa appears. The description of sadhana ends with the 8th verse. The assisting factors are the 2 samskaras, past and present life impressions of bhakti, mentioned after that. Samskara, jugalo, jvala. The way in which rasa develops explained starting from the 2nd half of verse 9. Niyamana tu rasayatam. After being purified of all faults, a person becomes eligible for the appearance of shuddha sattva visesha, ladini. Indicating by the word prasanna, joyous. By that, he becomes equipped with all knowledge, samvit. Indicated by the word ujjwala, bright. Right? So when someone has the knowledge of Krishna, then they see they're bright. When they're materially absorbed, they are dark.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. Oops. Gatir anu bhavad dvani, within the path of spiritual realization, means that the ingredients of rasa, such as vibhava, are dependent only on spiritual realization, not on being an expert poet, as in the case with material rasa. Right? Because you have to be very expert in the techniques to enjoy material rasa. But in spiritual, it's just dependent upon itself. Right? Even you're not very expert. Just like how these... Now, if we are taking the... the cowherd girls, then they're making the point that they're simple village girls. And because of that, then, you know, Krishna went to Mathura. But then he stayed, he didn't come back, because he's distracted by the sophistication of the Mathura girls. Right? So they'll have so much more sophistication and all those things, but they're just simple village girls. So, does that make sense? So they're thinking it's there because of that. But the point is, but who's the highest? The gopis. So it's not based on the sophistication of the knowledge of aesthetics. Right? In other words, bhakti is not dependent on being an aesthete to make it work. It's dependent upon your devotion to Krishna. And then rasa appears. Then if you know things and you can use that for Krishna, then fine. It enhances, it makes it nice. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Preman Taranga literally means whose essence is prema. Preman Taranga Bhutani Kriyani means activities such as hearing or chanting described previously, which have produced bhava. In other words, so that's the one group. You perform the sadhana, that is therefore brought to bhava. Right? Rati appears in the hearts of devotees who have performed actions such as kirtan previously described, endowed with the Lord's direct mercy. Right? So you've come, and that means in the association of devotees. Because if it's not in the association of devotees, they won't have the Lord's mercy. So that these popular kirtans that go on by, you know, the yoga studios and like this, it doesn't have that connection of Krishna's direct mercy, because they haven't heard it in parampara. Now, if devotees have gone to there, the kirtan, or they've been into kirtan, they've come, and now, based on the devotees chanting, now they're chanting, now it'll have that Krishna's mercy. But until you've heard the mantra from the parampara, it won't carry that mercy. Like that. But it means, it's just like this, it still is a gyata sukriti, and it's good, because they're hearing kirtan from somebody who knows from where they're from and where they got it from. But they like kirtan. So therefore, if you can come and do kirtan, the devotees, they're willing to come. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that they're connected to that. Or you take it even further. Somebody once sent me a kirtan that was how you say? I don't know how you'd explain it, but it was a Jewish kirtan.
Yeah, Hasids were chanting this harmonium.
Yeah, they're there and that, and all the other members are there, and they're all that, and they're doing that, hands in the air, jumping up and down. They're doing the whole thing, and they're chanting their own bhajans and all this. Now, if you like that, and you go to the yoga studio, you'd be interested, okay, to go to one of those kirtans. And then if we came, you'd be interested in that. So, however it is, if you're interested in hearing and chanting, it'll work. And that's the whole point. You know? So that's why any attachment to anything connected to Krishna then is a value. But we have to understand it's this connection to Krishna that gives it the value, not the form of it. Right? If the form is the holy name, then yes, it's Krishna. So there's no difference there. But then we also have to make the distinction, you know, on appreciating that it is Krishna and it is the association of devotees. So then, hence the mercy of the Lord. And this rati is made intense by impressions from past life and this life, right? So you're performing sadhana now, and then those impressions you're getting are enhanced from what you've experienced this life, but they're also supported from whatever it is from last life. Samskara jugalo jvala. This rati brings about a relish by vibhava and other elements directed to Krishna and related objects, which are directly realized and then attains the highest level of astonishing bliss. So the three lifetimes you're taking from here or taking from someone else?
Yeah, from here.
From here.
Rupa Goswami.
Yeah, it's mentioning that. Yeah, so it's just... So here they're discussing these three. But you see it's a natural progression, yes?
Yes, I'm taking them from Bhagavatam, Bharata Maharaj.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay. Yeah. So we don't have to count this as the first. This may be we're only aware of it now because by Krishna's arrangement, when you take a new body, we don't remember the last one anyway. Right? And, you know, and we're not, and what do you call it? And Ouija boards aren't part of sadhana bhakti, so you don't have to use one of those methods for trying to connect the last life. You know, yeah. Yeah, what was it? Okay, 7 to 10. Okay. Two one eleven. However, prema, even becoming slightly pleasurable by a slight mixture of vibhava and the other ingredients, quickly becomes very tasteful. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse describes the excellent nature of prema. The special quality of prema is that, attaining a slight ability to experience various tastes, ani asim, vidha van nad, yavastam, by mixing with vibhavas and other elements. Prema then quickly reaches a state of excellent taste, ashvadyatam. This implies attaining the higher states, such as pranaya and sneha. Footnote 1. Rati, increasing in intensity, becomes prema. Becoming more intense in the case of dasyaras, rati, prema, sneha, and raga manifest. Right, so it must be taken from some other place.
Usually from Bam Swami himself.
Okay. Yeah, well, there's also, I think, where he explains it later. The acharyas in that explain that. So here, dasya rasa, you get rati, prema, sneha, and raga. You can take it to there. In the sakya rasa, pranaya, prema, sneha, and raga manifest. In vatsalya rasa, rati, prema, sneha, and the highest level of raga. And the highest level of rag manifest. In the case of Madhurya Ras, the order is Rati, Prema, Sneha, Mana, Pranaya, Raga, Anuraga, and Mahabhava. So it'll go all the way through. So the different ones have their different levels, and all the devotees, because Rati is the common point, all of them can relate to each other, because they're all attracted to Krishna. They may be attracted in different ways, but the common point is attraction to Krishna. And it's all about Krishna, all about pleasing Krishna. So you can see that's the aspect that's always there. Right? The detail comes along with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. These are the superior forms of rati. If one attains prema alone, that prema then combines with vibhava and the other elements, and this takes place. The order of words should be ani yasim api, meaning even attaining a slight taste. Right? So that's the whole point, is we get a slight taste in anything, we will move forward. Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Because there is that interest in you know, attraction to Krishna. So that's why we see we're moving forward because of rati. But the position that we're in until we get to bhava is not called rati.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's an attraction for Krishna, but you don't talk. We just say one should be attracted to Krishna and everything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
We say that preaching means to try to help people to get attraction to Krishna.
Yes, exactly. That's what you're trying to do. It's not that, it's not that we're not using the, hellfire and brimstone one. You can use that, and on some people it will work. But you have to, specialize in that particular area of preaching. Now, if it worked there, and then we say, no, this is what you have to do for everyone, it won't work. The point is that attracting them by Krishna consciousness, that's the universal element.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that, some people like different kinds of approaches.
Yes.
Like that. So according to your nature and according to the person that you're dealing with nature, then you try to make a match. So if within your nature it has the context of what's within theirs, then you can go use that technique. If what their position you don't have, you just deal in the generic, the level of the soul and Krishna consciousness and that, and then you try to the best you can. But that's why then the preaching, it talks about associating with like-minded persons, because what they say you can relate to. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're going, oh, this prasad is so nice. And the other person says, yeah, but it's fried. So you can't move forward in appreciating Krishna consciousness through prasad in that association. Right? Like that. Because they can't relate to it. It's not an area, but for them it may be something else. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty that comes up, is then you find is that what association you can comfortably be in and relate to. But at the same time, there's more advancement, so if there's something that's weak in our practice, then it will be seen. Right? If we just associate with those who are exactly equal and just with those who are junior, we may never see how we could improve like that. So that's why then we appreciate the association of those who are senior. Like that. And then we see is for these devotees, everybody's senior to them, so they're always finding something good. So there's not a problem. Yeah.
So Maharaj, you should try to broaden this range of sajati.
Yes.
Gradually.
Yeah. But the main point is the Krishna conscious element. And then, depending upon the external form of it, then you'll associate with that person in that area. And in another area, you might not. Like that. Does that make sense? Let's say, discussing prasad, you do that with one person. But other aspects, you might not. Like management, you wouldn't discuss with them. So like that. Or you discuss management with them, but not prasad. Does that make sense? And so then you find, but at the same time, is you start to appreciate by seeing the principle, you can appreciate. So that means any association you're in, you can gain from, because you see the principle. Though the detail, you'll apply it in your detail, but even from their position, you can appreciate what they're doing. Like that. So the thing doesn't have to change. If we can understand that, that's the individuality. That means also we won't become distracted. It's like if we're taking it, no, this everybody has to be the same, then the problem is we also, in giving that facility, but then we can't tell the difference between what's material and spiritual. So we can't tell the difference between somebody doing something that has the same form as what we're doing, and then we say, oh, they're doing it, so then they're all right. But they're doing it for a material purpose, and like that. Or even if it's theistic, then how much, what aspect? So, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is that you're seeing the worship of others, and so even if it's a different religious process, you're appreciating that they're following the rules and regulations, and worshiping the Lord. And so then, this is how they're doing it. We'll have that express the same faith in our way. But you can appreciate that they're expressing their faith. And so there's not a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it doesn't distract you from your practice. But if you make the thing too much of it's all equal, then you can get distracted. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense? But at the same time, so you have the individuality, and you can work with everybody. So that's what we're trying to get. That's broad-minded. Liberal is not broad-minded. It's narrow-minded, just like conservative is narrow-minded. It's just the liberal will use broad-minded terms, but they'll only apply it in a narrow way. And the conservatives don't bother. Right? So broad-minded means you're using the term in a broad way. You know, you can accommodate the individual and the concept. So therefore you understand the individual, you understand the metaphysical, you understand the spiritual, the transcendental, so all that, and you just see how it's progressive.
While you're comfortable with your own.
Yes, while you're comfortable with your own. So you can be an individual because you accept others and that, and it works. But it's not so individual you can't function as a group, but it's not so much of a group that you can't function as an individual. And then at one point, if the group means it's all homogenous, there is no group. You know what I'm saying? If I take a bunch of apples, and individual apples, and put them in a blender and blend it up very smoothly, I don't call it a bunch of apples. I don't even call it apple. You know, so it's not a group, it's not an individual.
You know. What happens when an exception... What happens to society where the exception made in the general rule?
Because the thing is it's the exception, the Vedic sense, exceptions proves the rule.
Right.
Because other than the exception, it's not like that.
Yeah.
So it proves the rule. Mm. So that's if you're accepting the principle of authority. You can work with both. And see that this is the general principle, but if you come across that exception, you'll accept that exception for its own value. Mm-hmm. But if you don't accept authority, you'll use the exception to break down authority, and you won't follow the exception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It destroys from both sides.
It destroys from both sides, because the point is it's what I feel and think, that's the authority. So when you say something and immediately they bring up that exception, and there's only one of them. You know, say, give another example. They don't have one. Right? Then it's about breaking down authority, not accepting authority. Right? Unless, of course, your attitude's wrong and they have the proper attitude and they're just trying to point it out to you. But other than that, that's an exception. But otherwise, then... The general principle is there's a problem with authority, so they don't want authority. So they find the example to break the authority, so now they can go on thinking how they want. Because otherwise, by the logic you presented, they may have to surrender. They don't want to do that. They'll find that weird exception. That's the same exception that everybody in there, under the modes of nature that they're under, say. Mm-hmm. You know, like every journalist will say the same exception, you know, mm-hmm. same example. Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai
Nitai Gaura Prema.